October 28th, 2009, Kartik. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class 301. Yesterday we heard about two ways to develop the proper bhav, the internal sentiments, mentality and heart that's actually required to follow the eternal residence of Vrindavan, Gopi Anugata. And we can acquire that type of feeling by seeing deities of gopis and Krishna, Radha and Krishna, the gopis, Ashtasakhis or Lalita Vishaka, or by seeing paintings of Krishna's Leela with the gopis. He's mentioning that, Rupa Goswami is mentioning that as two ways, deity darshan, particular deities, and hearing about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan with the gopis. These are sources of bhav. They can create some feelings and bhav in the heart, which will make one qualified to take up Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. And this is text 301-302. Pura Maharshaya Sarve Dandakaranya Vasina Tristva Ramam Harim Tatra Bhuktum Aicham Savigraham Te Sarve Stritam Apana Samudbhutascha Gokule Harim Samprapyakamena Tato Mukta Pavarnavat. He was saying, Rupa Goswami was saying in his own words, that seeing the deities or hearing the pastimes is sufficient to develop bhav. Then he cites the example of the sages of Dandakaranya sages. They saw not a deity of Ram, but they saw directly Ramachandra when he was in the forest. And they desired enjoyment with his form. They saw him, these great Maharshis and Rishis, they saw Ram and they saw, oh, he's so beautiful. Even though they're males, they thought they had a desire to enjoy him physically like a female. So they attained forms of women and appeared in Gokul. Attaining the Lord by that calm, they became liberated from the ocean of the material world. Now, this is an example of how this Kamarup Raghunuga Sadhana is available for everyone, whether man or woman. They can be attracted to the Lord's form and wish to serve him in an intimate way of conjugal vilas, conjugal love. It's quite an extraordinary that happened. Now Jiva Goswami, he explains in the purport about this. These sages are all those sages who had desires following the gopis of Krishna and Gokul. They saw Ram and they desired to enjoy with him, or to offer themselves for his enjoyment. And he blessed them by saying, Bhavatu, Tatastu. That was, of course, in Treta Yuga, a few million years ago. And when Krishna, or say Ram, or Bhagavan, appeared in Dwapara Yuga, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, as Vrindavan Sri Krishna, Vrindavan Chandra, then their desire was fulfilled. They got to dance with Krishna in the Rasa dance. It was described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. So they ask for this boon in their minds. Krishna's future appearance is well known to the learned from the scriptures. This interesting point here, that in that whole story in Padma Puran about the Dandakaranya Rishis, when they saw Ram, it isn't that they went up to Ram and said, oh Ram, we want to enjoy with you. Can you please give us suitable body to do that? Because only at this time and this Leela, only Sita Devi is your consort and not a second one. But we also want to be your consorts. They didn't do that. They weren't so direct like nowadays. People may be like that. But they had in their mind, it's called the Sankalpa, their desire in the mind. They saw the Lord and they thought, oh, this will be nice, will be wonderful. And then they had that desire. They asked for this boon in their minds. This means that we, as sadhakas, we can see the Lord and we can also ask for boons in the mind from the Lord. Blessings, benedictions, boons. We can ask Him that, oh, please bless me that I receive the desired siddhadeya that I want. to serve you eternally in Vrindavan, or to serve your Radharani. That's our mind, our mindset. And this mentality, Krishna knows our minds. He knows past, present, and future. So here the Dandakaranya sages, they express their minds. In their mind they had a particular sankalpa or desire to serve Ram as his consorts. And he accepted that. There wasn't any formal letter, there weren't any words expressed, he didn't say anything. He said bhavatu or tatastu. He actually didn't say anything. He simply closed his eyes. It was a mental transfer, was, you can say, ESP or extrasensory perception. They understood their minds. Because Bhagavan is a kalpa vriksha. Whatever one wants, he can attain from Bhagavan. So Bhagavan Ram fulfilled her desires, and they took birth from the wombs of gopis in Bhoma Vrindavan. And then Krishna called them for the rasa dance. First he stole their clothes. And Margashirsha month, when they were 6 years old and Krishna was seven, then he came to steal their clothes. As you read in the description from the 10th canto, it wasn't Radharani, it wasn't the Asasakis, it wasn't any of them. It was the Kanya, the Braja Kanyas, the unmarried virgin girls of Vrindavan who were worshipping Katyayani, Katyayani Mahamayi, Mahayogi Nidishwari, Nandagopasatam Devim, Patim Me Kurute Nama. They were praying, these unmarried virgin gopis were praying to Katyayani, to the Durga. They're saying, please bless us, Nandagopa Sutam Devi, Patim Me Kurute Nama. Please bless us, O Katyayani Ma, that the son of Nandamaraj becomes our husband, our pati. So they had this sankalpa, as they did in Treta Yuga. So they became gopis. Then Krishna said, oh, only the husband can see the wife naked. So I'll come and steal your clothes. Krishna was 7 years old, they were six. And then he said, anyway, next year, you have to wait. I've seen your form, you're offering everything to me. I've seen you. Now you wait, be patient, and develop your purvarag more and more. Because I've already accepted you. You've already accepted me, and I've accepted you. And next year I'll fulfill your desires to have intimate vilas or conjugal vilas with me. And Krishna was 8 years old and they were seven for the Maharas dance in the Srimad Bhagavatam. After obtaining a silent boon from Ram, who acts as a desire tree, these sages of Dandakaranya and Treta Yuga, they attained the bodies of women taking birth from the wombs of gopis on a different region. Oh, that's interesting. Now, this is Jiva's commentary. It says that these gopis, they were born outside of Braj, then they came to Braj. They were then born from these gopis who then moved to Nanda Gokul. The gopis who were the mothers of these kanyas who Krishna stole the clothes from, they were born outside of Braj. And then they were pregnant or whatever, and then they came to Braj, these ladies, and then they gave birth to these gopis who were the Dandakaranya sages. So they took their birth here. They were born from these gopis who then moved to Nanda Gokul, famous as Gokul. Due to their calm or intense desire, they attained Krishna in the form of in his attractive form. Later they attained liberation from the material ocean. These gopis' sadhana siddhas are indicated in the following verse. Antar griha gata kaschit gopyo labda vinirgama krishnam tat pavana yukta dadyur milita lochana. This is from Bhagavatam. Some of the gopis could not manage to get out of their houses when Krishna played his flute. Instead, they remained at home with eyes closed, meditating on Krishna in pure love. This is, of course, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 29, Rasa Dance, verse 9. So these are sadhana siddhas, that they attain sadhana. What was their sadhana? Kamanuga. We have Kamarup, of the Kamarup Bhakti. So theirs was Kamanuga Bhakti. Kamanuga Raghunuga Sadhana, what type? In Sambhogich Atmika. they had a desire. This is, they wanted to be sakis, they wanted to be nayakas, they wanted to be enjoyed by Krishna and to enjoy Krishna in sexual union, and that desire was fulfilled. And they followed the path of Raghunuga Sarna with this icha, with this desire for sambhog, sambhog jatmika, and that, and they had intense desire to the point of obsession to please and serve Krishna's body with their bodies, and therefore it's called Kamarup or Kamanuga. Vishnu Chakravarti says, and it says that those gopis became freed from the material ocean. It means, because it says it, gunatita, I mean, they became free from the gunas. They became free from the material portions of their bodies. At the time of the rasa dance, when these kanyas, when these sages who became gopis, they were locked in their houses. They burned up the material portion of their bodies by the separation from Krishna caused by their being locked up. This can be seen in the commentary on 10th canto. This is a result which accompanies bhakti. And some of the rishis of Dandakaranya, they cherished a great desire for the feeling of Krishna's brajagopis. See, what happened is that these rishis at Dandakaranya, they saw Ram and they developed intense desire to be his consort. So he fulfilled that. But then of those rishis, they did so much sadhana in Treta Yuga, the balance of their lives, they did so much sadhana in the mood and the developing the bhava of the gopis. And then they took birth in Voma Vrindavan from the wombs of gopis. They became gopis. But then there, amongst them, some of them had more attachment and were more proficient in their bhajan because they're not machines. Sadhana siddha means they attain perfection by sadhana. So they all saw Ram, and many of them developed a desire. Then they began to perform Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, called Kamarup. Kamarup Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. But now it's explained that some of those rishis, they cherished great desire for the feelings of Krishna's Brajagopis. So they're following the path of the gopis, Gopi Bhav. Due to shyness, the rishis prayed to Ram in their hearts, only to be born in Gokul as women. Omniscient Ram blessed them in his mind to be born in a distant Gokul. They were born on the outlying areas of Brajamandal. Then they moved to Gokul. Maybe that's our situation. We were born on the outlying areas. We were born on the outlying areas of Brajagokul. Like Russia is one of the outlying areas. America. Then we moved to Vrindavan. Although they received gopis' bodies, they still had not attained Krishna. Only when they were blessed by Krishna himself. When did Krishna bless them? Gopi Vastraharana. And when they were blessed by Krishna's confidential consorts, then they could meet Krishna in their aprakrita chit bodies. Aprakrit, which means spiritual bodies, bodies of consciousness. So this is the path of sadhana that leads to perfection, that they were following the gopis bhav throughout their whole life, and they became so fortunate that they took birth in Voma Vrindavan. This is where we want to go in this direction also. We want to take birth in Voma Vrindavan. So in this life, we have to attain Sarup Siddhi. We have to attain the perfection of realizing the bhav of our Sarup. Sarup Siddhi means that the perfection of realizing Gopi Bhav and having some vision and revelation of our Siddha Deha. It's called Sarup Siddhi. And then we'll take birth. But then some other things are required. It says Krishna himself, we'll have to get association with the eternal associates of Krishna. And they will further purify us. And we may still have some materiality. Our body may not be completely aprakrita. As we're born in Voma Vrindavan, so in Voma Vrindavan there's still some mixture, there's some materiality. And I inquired about this verse from Bhagavatam, chapter 29, verse 9. I had some discussion with Radha Govinda Swami, my Guru Bhai, because he has a book with 11 commentaries. And he was saying that this, obviously their bodies were Swarup City and their citadels that they took birth in it's called Citadeya, but it's not quite Vastu. Vastu means the perfect body, eternal spiritual body, Vastu, that's completely made of consciousness, Satchidananda Vigraha, which one exists eternally in the spiritual world when he becomes perfect in Bhoma Vrindavan. So there's a transition between being born in Bhoma Vrindavan, in the Citadeya, then realizing and attaining this Vastu Citadeya, or you can say Vastu Deya, which is technically called a Prakrita Chit Deya. There's nothing aprakrit, there's nothing material. Now when it says Gunamaya, it says in a Sanskrit verse, Gunamaya Deya, in this verse 29, in 10th canto, it says Gunamaya, that how is it they had some body made of Gunamaya? Because some of their mentality, because the subtle body, the gross body is made of gunas, and also the subtle body. The three gunas, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, they make the physical body and also the mental body. Shuksha-sharira and linga-sharira. So within their mind, there was still some material attachment to family or to husband or to something lingering in their chitta. So this was some contamination. It was still some prakrita, deha. And by the association of Krishna's Nitya Parishas, Lita, Vishaka, Rupa, Marti, Mandri, or Guru Mandri, etc. And by, in this case, Krishna directly himself giving darshan and interacting with those Gopi Mandris, or these, in this case, Sakis, by stealing their clothes, then that purified their subtle bodies, it purified their minds sufficiently so they became completely aprakrit. They became completely transcendental. So this is what happened is that they finally were locked up the first night. Vishnu says, as a summary here, they were locked, when Krishna played the flute to call these gopis that he stole their clothes the year before, those that had more association, those Dandakarna sages, had more association with the eternal associates, had completely, by that association, by their own bhajan, had completely purified their subtle body. And then they could, by associating with Krishna's eternal associates, they could easily enter the stage, understanding and develop the feelings of sneha, man, pranaya, man, etc. Then the first night that Krishna played the flute, they ran out. These sadhana siddha gopis, Dandakarna sages, they ran out and joined the rasa dance. But these other ones that had the gunamaya deha, as explained, they heard Krishna's flute and they gave up their bodies. Sometimes people think they died. They didn't die because there's different bodies. They gave up that slight mayak portion of their minds or mentality that was given up. Is that clear? And then the second night and third night when Krishna played his flute, then those sadhana siddha gopis, they ran out and they danced the Krishna rasa dance and they enjoyed Rati Vilas, and Krishna fulfilled their desires and they fulfilled Krishna's desires to enjoy also. And this is what's discussed in this verse to give the example of Kamanuga, Raganuga sadhana. Verse 303, Rimram sam sushtu kuravan yo vidi margena sevate Kevale nevasa tada mahishi tvam yatpure. So this is Raganuga Bhakti. And Raganuga sadhana in Kamarup. Kamarup means following the kama, the intense love of the gopis. And the example is the Dandakarna sages who attain Krishna and rasa dance in Gopi Deha. Now, Rupa Goswami is saying, a person who is serving on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti with a desire for a conjugal relationship with the Lord and a high position, but without desire for the gopis type of love, after some time becomes a queen in Dwarka. So this is sometimes people criticize, not understanding the full presentation of ISKCON, not understanding the full presentation of Siddhanta, and bhajan that Prabhupada is giving, they misread our approach, or they misunderstand our practices, and they relegate the practices of ISKCON to Vaidhi Bhakti. They say, oh, in ISKCON they're only doing Vaidhi Bhakti. And their Vaidhi Bhakti will only take them to Vaikuntha. Because it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other places that Vaidhi Sadhana will only take you to Vaikuntha. Or, of course, it's all part of Vaikuntha, but Braj is the topmost plane and aspect of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Golok, this is Goloka Vrindavan. Vrindavan, Rajagokul. So they're saying all you members of ISKCON will become Mahishis, Dwarka Mahishis. You'll become queens of Krishna because you're not following the gopis. You're not a gopi bath. You're not following the gopis. And so, but you have the idea of Madhurya Ras. You have that idea. That idea is being presented there. You worship deities of Radha and Krishna, Radha Shama Sundar. But your bhav, okay, your deities are Radha and Krishna, but your bhav is Aishwarya, Aishwarya Mahi Bhakti. Your bhakti devotion is mixed with a sense of grandeur and opulence. Just see your opulent, your big, big temples, and you have your grand, big puja and all these things. But I have my little kuti in. But that's why I said they misread. Because this, we are not everything that Prabhupada has given us. He's given us Panchanga Bhakti. He's emphasized Panchanga Bhakti out of the 64 limbs of Bhakti. Prabhupada has emphasized Shravanam, Kirtan, Smaranam, and Archanam, and Sarasangam, and Nam Sankirtan, the five most important limbs, which include deity worship, Shrimurti Seva. They include Sarasanga and Bhagavat Shravan, Nam Kirtan, and living in Vrindavan. This is Raghunuga Sadhana. These are the basic limbs of Raghunuga Sadhana. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. So Prabhupada is giving us the path of Raghunuga Sadhana, Rupanuga Dara, the current or stream of the conception of Rupa Goswami. He is training us very clearly to become worshippers of Rupa Mundri and Rupa Goswami. And Raghunuga Sadhana leading only to Vrindavan, nowhere else. But this is a point that, because he's comparing and contrasting here, you may have calm, you may have desire to have a conjugal relationship or to serve Krishna in the mood of conjugal love. It's called Madhurya Ras. However, if you have that desire for conjugal vilas or to serve Krishna, and you follow Vaidhi Marg and not the gopis of Vrindavan, then you will become a queen and Dwarka. Dwarka Mahishi. You won't become like this, the sages of Dandakaranya. They worshipped in Gopi Bhav and they became gopis. They had the Bhav. They worshipped in Gopi Bhav and what did they get? Gopi Deha. But if someone worships in the mode of conjugal love but without Gopi Bhav, then you can't attain Krishna Vrindavan. You have to get Krishna. You'll get Krishna, but not, you'll get Aishwarya Maya Krishna, Bhagavan, in Dwarka. And look at your ISKCON, you even have a temple, Rukmini Dwarkadish. Even you're worshipping Rukmini Dwarkadish. So this proves that you're all going to be Mahishis. Or you're worshipping Parthasarathi. What is this Parthasarathi? Radharani in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So this is Vaikuntha. Where the Yadavas are, this is Vaikuntha. So this is, this is the proof. This is a hard proof. This is just names of deities, and who knows whether Prabhupada named them or some disciple or whatever. Radha Parthasarathi Prabhupada was aware of. He named them. But, okay, that's names of deities, but what is the Siddhanta? What is the sadhana? What is Prabhupada actually teaching? He's teaching Raghunuga Sadhana to Vrindavan. My home is Vrindavan. And Prabhupada everywhere traveled around the world worshipping Radha Govinda. His first deities are Radha Govinda. First deities in India, Radha Govinda in Calcutta. First deities in America, Radha Govinda in New York. Everywhere, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda. Govindaji. And Prabhupada is teaching this. But Rupa Goswami is warning here that if you're stuck up on the Vaidhi Marg and strictly just following, it says, Vidhi Marg Sevate, Vidhi Margena Sevate, Kevala, Kevala, Tada Mahishi, Twam, Mahishi Twam Pure. You have to go to the Mahishi Pure, you have to go to Dwarka, because that Kevala, your seva, kevala seva, your seva is only like that. You're not mixing Vaidhi with Raghunuga. You're not on a platform of Vaidhi aspiring for Raghunuga. You're fixed over there. with a lower conception or limited conception, and not and out of some other idea, then you can go there. But this is one verse in the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, just to explain that this is a possibility, that one can follow strictly Vaidhi Sadhana and attain prema. You can follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and you'll come to Bhava and prema. But that will be Aishwarya Bhava. Aishwarya Bhava and the prema mixed with Aishwarya conception. And you will get a destiny. You will get Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or you will get Rukmini and Dwarkadish, or you'll go to Dwarka, or you'll go to Vaikuntha. Vaidhi will give you prema. But Raghunuga Sadhana will take you to Vrindavan. So then Jiva Goswami has an extensive commentary here. Serving according to Vaidhi Bhakti, though using mantras for meditating on the love of the gopis, and of course using mantras and procedures for meditating on the love of the queens of Dwarka, they will achieve the bhava of the queens rather than the gopis. Kevalena means they execute this service without having desires for a relationship in Braj. Thus, when they perform service in Vaidhi Bhakti, desiring a conjugal relationship like the queens, but without desire for a relationship like the gopis, they attain the status of a follower of the queens in Dwarka. This is because of the great respect they have for the queens of Dwarka in the Avarana Puja. Avarana, secondary worship after worshiping Krishna. It's called Dwarka Dhyan. This is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Mukunda Das Goswami has written some comment on this also. Even if one is desiring a perfect prem dalliance with the Supreme Lord Krishna, Nanda Nandan, for the absolute pleasure of Krishna himself, but, in other words, he wants his desire, his or her desire, the sadhaka's desire, is to have a love, have prem, conjugal prem, madhurya prem, loving relationship with Krishna. Offer herself, offer her spiritual body for the full pleasure of Krishna. But that devotee is serving Krishna in the way of Vaidhi Bhakti, guided by scriptures and reasonings, and not in the path of rag, then he will achieve queenship in Mathura or Dwarka. You can even go to Mathura. It means that the all-beauteous and charming, all-attractive form in Braj, as the supreme object of the highest prema, can be achieved only by following the right path of spiritual practices. If there is any imbalance between the means and the end, between the sadhana and the sadhya, the desired end cannot be achieved, realized, and relished. In other words, it must be coordinated. What you want to attain, you must be practicing the appropriate bhajan to attain what you want. If you want to attain Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, then you must be performing sadhana, which is leading you to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. It's pretty simple. Lakshmi could not attain Krishna's association in Braj because she did not follow the correct and appropriate path of subservience to the bhavas or sentiments of the Brajagopis. It is impossible to possess the bhavas in the wake of the prema of the Brajagopis unless one follows the proper path. The desire to attain devotion to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, but if we maintain we're following the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, he will go to Dwarka. He's not following Rag Marg, but following Radha and this is something Vishnu is saying. If someone is following Radha and Krishna and Vaidhi Marg, that means you have some knowledge of Krishna's opulence. Then you'll be born, this is Vishwanath, Raghavart Manchandrika. So this is the question Vishwanath asks in Raghavart Manchandrika. So what if someone is worshipping Radha and Krishna? They're practicing Vaidhi Marg. You're worshipping Radha and Krishna. But you like so much opulence, and there's so much opulence there. And then, you follow Vaidhi Bhakti, you attain Bhava and Prem. You attain Prem. Now where will you go? He says, if you're following Radha and Krishna, but in Vaidhi Marg, and you have knowledge of Krishna's opulence, and rather you're attracted and attached to that opulence, then you're born in Goloka Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna live. This is explained in Brihad Bhagavatamrita also. But in the majestic feature, more opulent than Braj. You'll not attain Vrindavan where there is pure Madhurya Bhav. They will get Aishwarya Madhurya Bhav in Goloka, which is part of Vrindavan, but a more majestic aspect. So this is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's like the inner Braj and the outer Braj. There's there's Vrindavan, and then there's Braj, and then there's a little bit outer aspects called the Goloka, or majestic aspect. There's a separate area. There's a separate area in Vrindavan. It's almost like, you know, British one area and Hindus in another area. There's a separate area where all the associates of Krishna live there. They live. But all the opulence of the palace of Nanda Maharaj, all this gold and all these things, it's different. They had the sweet aspect is there. There's a cow dung home, and there's clay pots. There's two forms of Nanda Maharaj, and two forms of Mother Yashoda, and two forms of Radha and Krishna. There's the majestic aspect with all kinds of opulence and really opulent deity puja and beautiful big crowns and all the things that we like in this level. And then there's Krishna just with top knot and a peacock feather. There's two sides, and the two sides are simultaneously existent, and there's no, they don't mix, there's no mixture of different bhavas. And then Rupa Goswami describes in Stavamala, the word Goloka means the majestic part of Vrindavan, and Gokul means the sweet part of Vrindavan. And this is described in the pastime when Nanda Maharaj was this was revealed in the pastime when Nanda Maharaj was abducted by Varuna. Afterwards, Krishna showed Vaikuntha to the Brijvasis. This is in 10th canto. He showed Vaikuntha to the Brijvasis. After they returned to Gokul, they saw that Gokul was more opulent and more than Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha means Krishna's Vaikuntha. In other words, Goloka. Krishna's majestic aspect of Vrindavan. So this Rupa Goswami brings it out, and he uses this story in the Krishna book to show how they went to this Vaikuntha, and they said, wait a minute, what's this? They can see there's a difference. So there's the majestic Vrindavan, and then there's the sweet Vrindavan. So it's very interesting. So if you wander around Vrindavan, then you wander and you go to some outer area of Vrindavan, and you see a bunch of your old friends from ISKCON, and maybe they were only following Vaidhi Sadhana. They say, hey, Prabhu, Haribo. Yeah, I'm here. Oh, yeah, we're coming to the temple. Oh, wow, it's a really big, beautiful temple. Wow, it costs 500 crores. You know, it's in Moscow. And it's all big gold and everything, golden kalash. And wow, it's nice. Radha Krishna, it looks so nice there. So where are you staying? Oh, I'm staying on the other side of town. I'm staying in the sweet Vrindavan. Well, what are Radha Krishna like there? Oh, Krishna just lives in, he just lives with some wagons pulled up underneath a couple of kadamba trees. And they just made a temporary house out of some cow dung and things because they're wandering here and there. Acha. Oh, that doesn't sound nice. We have a marble kitchen and everything nice, you know. Marble tiles everywhere. Everything's so clean and neat. And we have all stainless steel pots. And what are you cooking on? Oh, we have clay pots. We're cooking in clay and then we throw them away, use a new clay pot. I'll stay here. So these are two simultaneously existing spiritual dimensions. It's hard to accommodate one dimension, what to speak of two. But this is described in Rag Vartman Chandrika by Vishnu Chakravarti and also in Stavamala and also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That's what it is. In other words, everyone, it's a win-win situation. Oh, you want Radha and Krishna, and you want to go to Vrindavan, but you want lots of opulence and marble kitchens and stainless steel pots and a lot of formality or what? Okay, then they're there. There's a Radha and Krishna there. There's a Nanda Maharaj and everything. But if there's something else, then there's another. But then to follow that path, then you have to follow the Raghunuga Gosada and the Gopi Bhav. 10th canto, chapter 28, verse 15. That Vaikuntha that he showed them was actually Krishna's the majestic part of Vrindavan. Now let's look at the story of Akrura. The Acharyas bring all this out because there's a lot of. So if you know anything about 10th canto, Akrura, remember Akrura? He took Krishna and Balaram and put them on the chariot in Nandagram and was taking them to Mathura for the Dhanur Yajna of Kansa. But then they stopped in the border between Vrindavan and Mathura on the banks of the Yamuna at a place called Akura Ghat. And then he became bewildered. He said, they're on the chariot, or they're in the water. They're on the chariot, or they're in the chariot on the water. Well, Akura also saw Krishna and Brahmakund being worshipped on the same planet. The Brijvasi saw Krishna being worshipped by the demigods and the personified Vedas. It was amazing. And because they were thinking, he's just one of us, he's just a coward. So this place was Goloka, the majestic part of Braj. Is Brahmalok. There's a Para Brahmalok or Goloka. Goloka eva neva satya ki latma bhuto. This is not the Vaikuntha where Lakshmi and Lord Narayan lives. This is the place where the Aishwarya, Radha and Krishna are living. And then Krishna showed his own planet, which he referred to as Krishna Loka. So Krishna was showing this Goloka Vaikuntha, this Aishwarya aspect, and then he showed Krishna Loka, which is Brajagokul, the sweet aspect. Goloka namni nijadamni. This is from Brahma Samhita. And Vaishnav Toshni Tika of Brahma Loka has been identified with Krishna Loka Goloka. Lago Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami also describes the realm of Krishna known as Goloka is the majestic aspect of Gokul. So in Goloka, we say Goloka Vrindavan, that's Krishna's grand aspect. And Gokula is the it's called Madhupuri. This is superior to Goloka or Vaikuntha. But what it's basically saying is that if you want to attain the sweet, beautiful form of Krishna in Vrindavan, the barefoot Krishna, running behind the cows and dancing in the Rasa dance and all these sweet aspects, then you have to follow the path of the Brajagopis and Raghunuga Marg, Ragmarg. And this is the second aspect of Sadhana Bhakti is Vaidhi Sadhana and Raghunuga Sadhana. And Rupa Goswami has been describing that. He's already described it in verse 294 through 297. This is the basic sum and substance of how to practice Raghunuga Bhakti. Then he's saying, giving examples of those that do and those that don't and where they go. And that's where the discussion will continue this tomorrow. You can all read this, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Verses 300 through 303, chapter 2, part 1. Part 1 of Nectar Devotion, chapter 2, verses 301 through 304, describes these two planes. That's what they say, the more you learn, the less you know.